This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, before we begin this week's message, just this word. Never before in my lifetime have I seen a time in history when the pressure was there to conform to the world. If you've lived in this world any length of time, you know that's true. I think it's the Phillips translation of Romans 12:1 says, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." That's exactly what the world system, apart from Christ, wants to do with you and me. Squeeze us into a mold so we're just like everybody else. Go along in order to get along. That's what we talk about all this week from 2 Timothy 1:13, where Paul says, keep the pattern of sound teaching. That's the choice. We either keep the word of God or we don't. We either keep the word of God or we abandon it. Let's begin with part one of that message. Charles Stanley said this years ago, I love this quote, it's probably my favorite quote of Dr. Charles Stanley from Atlanta. Too many Christians have a commitment to convenience. Too many Christians have a commitment to convenience. They'll stay faithful as long as it's safe. They'll stay faithful as long as it doesn't involve risk. They'll stay faithful as long as it doesn't involve rejection. And they'll stay faithful as long as it doesn't involve criticism. But instead of standing alone in the face of challenge, they check to see which way the wind is blowing. They check to see which way their friends are going. That, for me, describes the Christian world in 2015. It's which direction is our culture headed? Which direction are my friends headed? And we go with the flow. The Apostle Paul, who we'll quote today in Timothy, in Romans, says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And there's tremendous pressure on people today in 2015 to conform. Just go along with the system. Just go along with what's politically correct. Go along with what's politically expedient. And I just want to share some thoughts with you that I think will speak to you from 2 Timothy 1. It's interesting what the word says speaks to what happened this week, in my opinion. We're in 2 Timothy 1, preaching through the book that's called Last Words. The last words the Apostle Paul wrote to a young minister named Timothy. The last words he wrote to everyone. He died after writing this. He was executed. He was beheaded. I never thought we would talk about beheading in a sermon and realize it's a commonplace experience in our culture today. Everybody's heard of that. It's all over the world and all over the news. Let's read it. 2 Timothy 1:13. Exactly where I left off last week. What you have heard from me, Timothy, keep as the pattern. Keep the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted in you, the gospel, the message. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. You say, how do you know those names are pronounced that way? I don't, neither do you. So don't worry about it. You don't either. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed by my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Here's the bottom line today, the decision that you have to make today in 2015. Either is I keep the word, what God says, or I don't. I keep the word, what God says, or I don't.
Now then, today, part two of a message we began yesterday from 2 Timothy 1, a message that I may be presumptuous in saying this, but honestly feel it's one of the most important messages I've given in a long time, because it's a choice that you and I face, either to keep the word of God or to discard it, to either keep it or abandon it. That really is the choice in your life, in my life in 2016. Let's continue with part two of this message, 2 Timothy 1:13 through the end of the chapter. God bless you.
Here's the bottom line today, the decision that you have to make today in 2015. Either is I keep the word, what God says, or I don't. And I'm going to make a prediction that some of you are going to be offended by. Some of you may say, how dare you make a prediction like that? But I'm going to say it. I believe in every service today, there will be people who a year from now, 2 years from now, won't have anything to do with the church or the Lord in general. I'm not talking about just Crossview. Who will say, thanks, Lord, enjoyed it while we were a part of it, but we're gone. We choose to do what's expedient. We're going to go with the flow, and we're going with the way our friends are going, and we're going with the political thought. And so that's the choice. That's the dilemma today. You either keep what's been entrusted to you, the Word of God. You keep His message, His Word, or we don't. Let's look at it. Verse 13, what you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Paul's talking about the messages that he gave. He wasn't telling Timothy, just be a mimic of what I teach, but keep the principles. Keep the truth and the essence of the message you've heard from me. That's what he's talking about. The pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Everything's about faith and love in Christ. You know, anything that comes out of your Christianity has to do with your faith and love for Him. Faith in Him and love for Him. You do know that, don't you? You don't do things because you're such a good guy. You don't do good things because you're such a nice woman. Everything flows out of you being a believer in Jesus Christ, your faith and your love for Him. That's the way it is. That's the way it was designed to be. Verse 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. That's significant. We're not only to guard the message, but we're to guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Why? We don't have the strength to do it on our own. You don't, neither do I. You guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. If that was ever more true, it is now. In 2015, we need the help of the Holy Spirit of God to guard the message. Some of you read Oswald Chambers, and on July 8th, this is coming up yet in his devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, a person's will is embodied in the actions of the whole person. You don't give up your will when you become a Christian. You exercise it. Would you listen to that again? You don't give up your will when you become a Christian. You exercise it. You put it into action. I must will to obey. I must will to receive God's Spirit. And when God gives a vision of truth, there's never a question of what He will do. The only question is, what am I going to do with it? Do you get that? Listen to that again. Whenever God gives a vision of truth from His Word, there's never a question of what God's going to do. The only question is, what are you going to do? What am I going to do with it? The Lord has been placing in front of us some big things. The best thing to do is to remember what you did when you were touched by God. Recall the moment you first believed and you first recognized Jesus for who He is, or realized some truth.
Well, this is such a powerful quote of Oswald Chambers. We're actually going to continue it tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org to listen to this message again or any message you've heard on Cross Hope. God bless you, and thanks for listening each day to Cross Hope. Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we concluded with a quote from Oswald Chambers in his book, My Utmost for His Highest. I think it was a powerful quote about the passage we're studying in 2 Timothy 1, about keeping the Word of God. It's about obeying the Lord by making a choice, a decision to obey Him. Let's continue with Oswald Chambers' quote and continue from there. God bless you as you listen.
The Lord has been placing in front of us some big things. The best thing to do is to remember what you did when you were touched by God. Recall the moment you first believed and you first recognized Jesus for who He is, or realized some truth. It was easy then to yield your allegiance to God, but immediately recall those moments each time the Spirit of God brings something new before you today. Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, Joshua told the people. Your choice must be a deliberate determination. It's not something that you drift into. It's something you decide to do. You don't drift into obedience. You decide to obey. Would you listen to that again? You don't just kind of drift into obedience of the Lord's will. You make a decision. It's an act of the will. You don't give up your will. You exercise it. Only declare to Jesus, I will be faithful. I will be faithful to him and to his word. Look at verse 15, the people with the funny names only mentioned in this passage. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Paul's using a little exaggeration. Have you ever said that? Man, everybody's left me. Everybody in our town doesn't believe anymore. Everybody doesn't believe this. Everybody's immoral. Everybody's that. And we do use that phrase, everybody, in exaggeration. But let me tell you, it's something that Paul was deserted by the people that were supposed to be faithful to him. Paul was deserted by two leaders. I believe that's who these men were, who deserted him and said, he's in jail. He's on death row. We don't want to have anything to do with him. And Paul felt deserted by people that should have been faithful to him. But I want you to notice there was a man named Onesiphorus. What a name. What a name, Onesiphorus. Verse 16, may the Lord show mercy to the house of Onesiphorus because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he was evidently a businessman and he traveled. And he said, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. I've had several commentaries talk about the kind of prison cell that Paul would have been in. Nothing like the prisons of today. You know, we've been focused on the two prisoners who escaped from the Clinton prison in New York State, and that's been a big hot story for the last two or three weeks. Paul was in a prison that was probably like a cistern in the ground, a hole in the ground, with maybe one opening for air and for a little bit of light, and that was it. Can you imagine how depressing it was to be, not only to be there, but to know they're going to kill me? I'm going to be beheaded. And that's where Paul's writing this letter, from that dungeon, that cistern underneath the ground, writing to a young minister named Timothy. And he says, Onesiphorus stood by me. And so here's the choice. You keep the word, that's your choice, keep it or not keep it, but you also keep your friendships with people who love the Lord. You are aligned with somebody. You know what I mean by that? Politically, if you're a Democrat or Republican, you're aligned with a group of people. They're your people. And we understand that.
Well, I want to continue that thought line about who we're aligned with. It's not only a case of what we believe and what we hold to, but the people we hold to, the people we keep aligned with. God bless you as you listen tomorrow to Cross Hope. Well, believe me, it's not often that I say a message that I'm giving on Cross Hope is one of the most important I've ever given. And yet I'm going to be bold enough to say that I believe this message is. It's from 2 Timothy 1, where the Apostle Paul told Timothy to keep to sound doctrine. In other words, keep what you believe. Keep what you believe about the Bible. And that's a choice that's even tougher to make in this day and age in 2016. Where yesterday we talked about keeping the word, but also keeping our alignment with people who share that belief in the word of God. Let's pick it up right there today. God bless you.
You are aligned with somebody. Do you know what I mean by that? Politically, if you're a Democrat or Republican, you're aligned with a group of people. They're your people. And we understand that. If you're in some industry or some profession, you have a group of people that you're aligned with, and we understand that. We're aligned with family groups. And you have to make the decision, I think, in 2015, I'm going to align my life spiritually with people who keep the Word of God, who do believe that Jesus Christ is everything he claimed to be, and they do believe in the authority of God's Word. Isn't it interesting how in our culture today, if you're pro-life, you're a hater? You're a bigot. You believe in the traditional family as established in Scripture and by the Lord himself. You're a hater. You hate people, don't you? It has nothing to do with hatred. It has to do with obedience. It has nothing to do with hating people or not hating people. It has to do with obedience. And we will be squeezed or try to be squeezed into the mold that we're not in. And people will have to decide either I conform to the world I let the world squeeze me into its mold, just like a Jell-O mold, and I become a cookie cutter replica of everyone else. And I go along in order to get along. Having lived in Texas for 4 years, Annie and I were familiar with a Texas musician who was probably just known in Texas. His name was Jimmy Dale Gilmore. And I love that name, Jimmy Dale. That's got a country music sound to it, doesn't it? Jimmy Dale. Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Austin, Texas. He wrote this in 2006. I want you to listen to what he says. It's really powerful, a statement out of his own life. I went through a few years of getting lost and more lost. The drugs, the sex, the alcohol. Sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? That is, if you don't figure in the remorseful hangovers, the depression, and the loneliness that is both the cause and the effect of the whole vicious cycle. What a statement. I went far enough down to make this choice. I either needed to change my life or die. Anybody been there, done that? I need to change my life or die. I basically managed to break my own heart. Never heard anyone use that statement. I managed to break my own heart. There are men that have broken their own hearts, and there are women here. You have broken your own heart. Nobody broke your heart. You broke your own. And you know what I'm talking about. Then he says this, I caused hurt and sorrow to those closest to me by living my life with my own gratification as the guiding principle. What is it I want? That's my guide. What is it I desire? That's my guide. What is it that I have? That's my desire in life. The old cliche that experience is the best teacher proved itself to me with a vengeance. For some of us, it seems experience is the only teacher. I had to learn the hard way. Now listen to this last sentence. It came as a great shock to discover that my real spiritual problem in life was not a product of the world's condition, but of my own self-centeredness. Wow.
Well, I hope you'll hear the rest of this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org.
Now listen to this last sentence. It came as a great shock to discover that my real spiritual problem in life was not a product of the world's condition, but of my own self-centeredness. Wow. Listen to that again. It came as a great shock to discover that my real spiritual problem was not a product of the world's condition, but of my own self-centeredness. Does that speak to anybody today? Yeah, all of us. We can blame our problems on the world condition, or we can say, no, it's probably me. And I have to stand before the Lord on my own, just like you do, and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the Bible says. You know, the same passage that talks about when we die, we transition to be with the Lord, to be absent from this body, is to be present with the Lord. And most people say, I love that. That's great. But the same passage says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, everybody, to give an account of what we've done in this body, both good and bad. I know it's one of the most touching funeral stories that I've ever told at a funeral, but it's a story that William Barclay tells of a man who was an unbeliever. He was an officer in the British military. His wife was a believer, and his daughter was a believer. The mother died. And they had the funeral, and of course the question was came up, are we going to have a Christian funeral or just a memorial service? Because Dad was an atheist. Dad had no belief in God whatsoever, no belief in God's word. But in deference to his daughter, he had a Christian minister do the funeral. The minister knew full well the situation, that not only were there Christians there connected to the mom and the daughter, there were a group of unbelievers connected to Dad. And I love what the minister said when he got up. He said, I don't know what some of you believed yesterday, and I don't know what some of you are going to believe tomorrow. But today we're going to believe God. Today, this day, we're going to believe what God says. And he shared a message of hope in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And that's your decision. You know, some of you, I don't know what you believed yesterday, and I don't know what you're going to believe tomorrow, but I'm going to say from God's word, from 2 Timothy 1:13 to 18, today we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. What's the decision today? I'm going to keep the word of God, or I'm not. I'm going to hold to it, or I'm not. I'm going to stand with the Lord on what he says, or I'm not. That's the choice, and I'll go back to Charles Stanley's quote that says, most Christians have a commitment to convenience. They'll stay faithful as long as it's safe, faithful as long as it doesn't involve risk. I'll stay faithful as long as it doesn't involve rejection, as long as it doesn't involve criticism. Instead of standing alone in the face of challenge, we check to see which way the wind is blowing. Decide that's not going to be your epitaph. That you were just waiting to see which political way to go. Just which way is the wind blowing? Where do my friends stand? Or I'm going to stand with the word of Almighty God. He's the one who died for me. He's the one who gave me life. He's the one who promises me hope. I'm going to stand with him. Decide. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today through this passage in 2 Timothy. I know it's a difficult week for a lot of people. People probably wonder, what's he going to say today? What's going to be the thought line? And just simply going to share what we had planned to share all along. 2 Timothy 1:13. And let that word speak to us today about what's going on in our world. And it does. Thank you, Lord.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.